Let us pray. Your word, O God, covers the whole world in many languages, tongues, dialects, and accents. But your word is one and your word is true. May your Holy Spirit inspire us this day as we listen to your word, as we proclaim it in song and prayer and sermon, to be pleasing to you and to give honor to you and to lead and teach us all of your will for our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In this week's text from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we find Paul getting right up into the face of his congregants about allowing the divisions between them to create walls and hostility. Paul decides he's going to take it head on and deal with it, even if it means stepping on some toes and some traditions. Well, I'm no Paul, but I've decided I am being called, and I need to take this text seriously and be honest about our contemporary divisions that build walls and create hostility between us. Now, I'm sorry if I offend anybody, but in order to really understand the importance of this scripture, we have to talk about that which divides us. I've put together a few slides to help us talk about our differences. And I'm going to ask for you to participate with me this morning so that we can see just how real the differences are. So when a slide comes up with something that you're in favor of, please do me a favor and give out a cheer. Since we are Presbyterians, however, and we do everything decently and in order, I would ask you to refrain from booing the slides that you're not in favor of. Hopefully, everyone will find at least one slide to represent something they can cheer for. So I can't quite see who's on the slide projector today. All right. Now, hold on. Stop the slides. Don't go through them all. I was just about to give you your directions. So I will let you know when we want to advance the slides. So obviously, we have a division in the house over these two that we've already put up. Unless you think these are not serious divisions, you are not the guy who interrupted the Cubs' last attempt at getting to the World Series when he interfered with a ball that was hit just close to the stands. He has only recently been exonerated and quit receiving death threats. All right, let's go to the next slide. Okay, how about the next one? Okay, all right. How about the next one? Northwestern, there we go. What do you think the next one is? Oh, no. All right, how about the next one? So what do you think the next one is? Oh, okay, now hold on. It would not be fall if we didn't really deal with this next division that we have in our lives at this time of year. Next, please. All right, or are you these kind of people? Thank you. All kidding aside, we are very aware these days that there is much that separates us from each other, much that over the centuries has created walls to be built up, both literally and figuratively. In fact, Paul, as he speaks in this passage about walls, dividing walls, it is very possible that he is speaking of the literal wall, the solid wall that was around the Temple Mount. So he's not just talking about figurative walls, he's talking about literal walls that have been built up between peoples that create division and hostility. But we would be very naive if we thought that the divisions that we have today are greater than our forebears. One can only imagine the countless separations between first century Jews and their Gentile neighbors, the ethnic and national and religious divisiveness of our own day has nothing on that great ancient divide. Small wonder that Jewish and Gentile Christians who found themselves together in the company of the church would consider such an occurrence proof or evidence of the Spirit's power. We cannot fully grasp what it was like for the divisions within the first church between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. In this passage, Paul uses a number of terms very intentionally to highlight the divisions he was witnessing. Key terms of distinction familiar to the residents in Rome's conquered lands, such as stranger, aliens, citizens, are drawn alongside the religious divisions of Jew and Gentile. If we think issues around citizenship are particular to our own country, we are kidding ourselves. Citizenship was highly valued across the Roman Empire, so much so that among the foreign people conquered by Rome, some would pay great sums of money for citizenship. So when Paul is addressing them and speaking about aliens and strangers and saying, you are no longer exiles, you are no longer strangers, you are no longer outsiders, he is using that reality to lift up the truth that in his day, only the wealthy could buy citizenship and all the rights and privileges that went with it. Only the wealthy could do that. Paul himself bought his citizenship under the Roman leadership. The citizen-alien distinction brought clarity and emotional content to the distinction between insiders and outsiders to God's covenant promise, as we heard in verse 12, between those justified through the laws with its commandments and ordinances, verse 15, and those without such access. So the Gentiles could not participate if it was only for those people for whom God had had his original covenant of promise. The Gentiles had not lived and understood the law and all its commandments and ordinances. Remember, this strife also came right to something very personal and private, and that was circumcision. The question was, do you have to be circumcised to be in God's care and covenantal people? Do the Gentiles have to become Jews first before they're accepted into God's family and community? That's pretty personal. So Paul says, being brought into the church, the community of faith, is a free gift of God through the love and sacrifice of Christ. He He says, "You who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. Your citizenship in the community of faith has been bought by Jesus. It is free to all, no matter your history, no matter your gender, no matter your economic wealth. It is a free gift of God." We cannot fully understand how powerful that message was to the Gentiles and how offensive it was to the Jews. For Paul continues, "Christ is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us." One biblical commentator I read put it this way: "The remarkable thing about this scripture is how clearly it announces that the church's potential as a dwelling place for God depends on community, on being joined together. Just as the church then, as a locus of reconciliation, stood for the overcoming of fundamental, deep-seated, ingrained, sedimented divisions between Jewish and Gentile peoples, citizen and alien in the world of the first century, so too does the church today stand for the overcoming of divisions forced on the world. The divisions forced the world on the world by tradition, or class, or color, or nation, or wealth, and the list goes on, and it surely includes Cubs fans, Cardinals fans. Yet unfortunately, many look at the church, capital C, and see not a people united in Christ. In fact, recent polls show that many leave the church or never consider joining one due to the prevalence of hostility and division so often evidenced in the church and toward others outside the church. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey speaks of an opportunity he had to meet Bill Clinton in the late 1990s. Yancey writes, "Clinton told me this: I've been in politics long enough to expect criticism and hostility, but I was totally unprepared for the hatred I get from Christians. Why do Christians hate so much?" That, my friends, is unfortunately what stands out for far too many people about the church and about Christians. Some would say that, in fact, the church is the most diverse body on the planet. When you think of Karen's globe, and you think that everywhere around that globe, on every continent, every kind of place of worship, in every tongue, people are celebrating around the communion table as we will today. And yet we splinter into smaller and smaller pieces, the body of Christ. Professor and preacher Will Willimon reminds us of the powerful witness that was this very early church. This is really important to remember. He writes, "The pagan world looked at the early church and they absolutely marveled that here was of a group of people that was not organized as the world organized itself, on the basis of family or gender or class or money. The surrounding Roman culture said, 'Look how these people love one another.' That is what stood out and made this, the early church, the outlier to what was normally experienced. Look how they love one another." When we look at Jesus, we see God's true nature to bring people together. And we also see our assignment, which is to bring people together. People divided by so many walls of hostility, political, social, gender points of view, our assignment is to do something different, to congregate by something more significant than our sameness, to congregate together by something more significant than our sameness. Pay attention to what Paul is saying in this passage. Jews do not have to become Gentiles, nor do Gentiles become Jews. Rather, both Jews and Gentiles become united in Christ as Jew and as Gentile. God's reconciliation and transformation of humanity finds expression in unity marked by welcoming and hospitality. We don't have to all be alike, think alike, become alike to be one in Christ. That is Paul's message. Differences among persons exist and have existed since the very beginning of time. But community is possible. Community is possible when the walls based on hostility are broken down. And when that happens, there is an immediate payoff for mission and ministry. When those dividing walls of hostility are broken down, the work, the mission and ministry that can be done in Christ's name is endless. The bonds of humanity tie us together for the good of all. Just witness the goodness and kindness that has been shown during the horrific disasters of late. So many acts of kindness shown between people who would otherwise never cross paths, let alone shake hands. Just before his crucifixion, Jesus prays, according to John, not that the church would be effective, not that the church would be powerful, not that the church would be successful. Rather, Jesus prays that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That was Jesus' concluding prayer before the crucifixion. Not that Christianity would be the biggest and best religion of the world, but that we would exemplify the oneness that we see in the Trinity. October 1st, 2000, exactly 17 years ago today, the First Presbyterian Church of Peoria on Hamilton Boulevard celebrated World Communion Sunday with breads from around the world. Two pastors, one male and one female, stood and presided at the table together. And up the hill and across the upper parking lot from First Presbyterian Church, Trinity Lutheran Church also gathered for worship. They do not celebrate World Communion Sunday. There had never been any let's get together and sing kumbaya conversations between First Presbyterian Church and Trinity Lutheran Church, because Trinity Lutheran is a Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. And Missouri Synod Church has very strict policies of not recognizing other Christian communities as truly faithful or truly Christian. Randy had met that pastor a couple of times previously in social settings, but never anything formal or on religious matters. It's important to also know that the Missouri Synod does not allow women to be ordained nor serve in leadership positions in the church. 2 days later, on October 3rd, 2000, the First Presbyterian Church went up in flames just after 9 p.m. A crowd of us gathered in the parking lot of the Methodist emergency room to watch in horror as more and more of the building caught fire and the Peoria firefighters worked to put the fire out. Members, neighbors from the area, friends of members, the pastors all stood there in that parking lot looking up at the building ablaze. Pastor Randy, shaking from shock and the cool October temperatures, tears streaming down his face, couldn't speak. Someone came up behind him and slipped a warm cardigan sweater around his shoulders and patted him on the shoulders. When he turned to thank the person, he began weeping all the harder. It was the pastor from the church up the hill, from Trinity Lutheran Church, who had heard about the fire on the news. And when he came down and saw Randy standing there shaking and in tears, Pastor Moritz had taken off his sweater and he wrapped it around Randy's shoulders. And when he hugged him, he said to him, "You and your people are welcome to worship in our sanctuary and use the space in our building for as long as you need it." That was no small gesture on the part of that pastor. That invitation meant that an ordained woman would stand behind the altar at the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church because one of our pastors was a female. It meant that non-Missouri Synod Lutheran people would be receiving communion at the altar in a Missouri Synod Lutheran church. But all Pastor Moritz did in that moment was say, "You and your people are welcome." The next Sunday, the congregation of Trinity Lutheran Church lined the steps to their church and welcomed the entire congregation of First Presbyterian Church as they were led by two young children carrying the cross from the burned-out church up the hill across the upper parking lot that had split the two churches from each other for years, and walked into their sanctuary and placed the cross on their altar, our table. Their congregation, during the year plus that we worshiped there, they didn't become Presbyterians. And we did not become Missouri Synod Lutherans. But we did become one in Christ. When we allow Jesus Christ to gather us, to overcome our boundaries and our divisions, and to be one in Christ, we show the world not what we can do, but what Jesus can do in and through us. Friends, we are called to be one in Christ, regardless of the divisions and the walls of hostility that divide us. May it be so.